ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम सेवेंथ कैंटो चैप्टर वन टेक्स्ट 33 मातृश्वश्रेयोवश्चैद्यो दन्तवक्रश्च पाण्डव पार्षदप्रवरौ विष्णो विप्रशापात्पदच्युतौ. ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील एसी भक्तिविदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद. Translation. Narad Muni continued, O best of the Pandavas, your two cousins, Shishupal and Dantavakra, the sons of your maternal aunt, were formerly associates of Lord Vishnu. But because they were cursed by Brahmanas, they fell from Vaikuntha to this material world. Purport. Shishupal and Dantavakra were not ordinary demons, but were formerly personal associates of Lord Vishnu. They apparently fell to this material world, but actually they came to assist the Supreme Personality of Godhead by nourishing His pastimes within this world. This chapter is entitled, The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone. And the discussion so far between Narad Muni and King Yudhishthir Maharaj has come to the point where Narad Muni is saying that somehow or other one must meditate, keep, consider the form of Krishna within ourselves very, very seriously. Because previously he has said that, my dear King Yudhishthir, the gopis by their lusty desires, Kamsa by his fear, Shishupal and other kings by envy, the Yadus by their familial relationship with Krishna, you Pandavas by your great affection for Krishna, and we, the general devotees, by our devotional service, have obtained the mercy of Krishna. So this is a very significant point. These people mentioned here, gopis, are simple village cowherd girls. And apparently they have thought of Krishna as a paramour. Kamsa, just the opposite pole, he thought of Krishna with fear, as if Krishna would deprive him of his wealth, power, prestige, ultimately his life force. Shishupal and other kings by envy. Shishupal, the very first sound he uttered was a vile abuse word against Krishna. And 100 such blasphemies which merit death sentence, that he could be killed, was his quota. So he would stop till 99 and at a later date would again continue. So it's not a question of someone finding faults with you and me, but somehow sometimes speaks a bit better, at least in public or sometimes in private. Shishupal was no such admirer of Krishna in private. Private, public, in meditation or otherwise, waking, sleeping. The only thing he could speak was abuse Krishna. And he was Krishna's cousin. So his mother, out of filial affection, had requested, please don't kill him. Because she knew that her son, every word he says is against Krishna. Then Narad Muni is saying the Yadus, by their familial relationship, they just thought Krishna is one of us. He's from our community. You Pandavas, Narad Muni is addressing Yudhishthira Maharaj here, by your affection for Krishna, great affection for Krishna. The Nectar of Devotion describes, especially in the chapter on Sakhya Ras, how deep was the friendship between Krishna and the Pandavas, all five, Nakul, Sahadev included, although we don't know much about their dealings, but also Bhima, Yudhishthira Maharaj, and of course Arjun. With Arjun it was very special. But we find in the Rajasuya sacrifice, Bhima gets very angry. For the Agra Puja, who is to be given the honor of the first worship before initiating a sacrifice? It is Sahadev who gets very angry. And what to speak of Yudhishthira Maharaj's love? Rupa Goswami keeps him in a category of Danavira, those who are very chivalrous in charity. One incident is described in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, that the whole stage is set for the fire sacrifice to commence, and Yudhishthira Maharaj is the recipient of the fruit of that sacrifice, and Krishna escorts Maharaj Yudhishthira towards the center of the arena. And Yudhishthira Maharaj, his mind is so saturated with ideas of dedication, giving something to Krishna, thanking him for all that he has done, that he takes one step and thinks, I shall donate my wealth. I'll give it all to Krishna. The next step he takes, I'll surrender all my servants, all my chariots, horses, everyone in Krishna's service. Another step, no, I will surrender all my family members. So every step he takes towards the where he has to sit for the sacrifice, he just goes on offering everything in charity to Krishna. So whether the Pandavas are staying in a palace or incognito or staying in forest, their love for Krishna never deteriorated. And this is one question in the Mahabharata. Narad Muni says, you are going through hell. Your wife was insulted. You lost all your money, property, fame, everything. But my question is, how come you are not stopping loving Krishna? So that is this thing. Affection, great affection for Krishna. And then he says, Narad Muni keeps himself in the category of general devotees. He says, we, the general devotees, by our devotional service, simple. So that's how we obtain the mercy of Krishna. Therefore, he says, somehow or other, one must consider the form of Krishna very seriously. Then, by one of the five processes mentioned above, one can return back to Godhead. Then he adds a caveat, however, that dreaded asterisk which you find, conditions apply. You can think of Krishna anyhow, anyway. He says, yes. However, atheists like King Vena, being unable to think of Krishna's form in any of these five ways, cannot attain salvation. Therefore, one must somehow think of Krishna, whether in a friendly way or inimically. Now, there's a slight difference in understanding here. Kamsa is not considered a devotee because he did not think of Krishna favorably. But here, at least Kamsa was knowing that there is somebody who is supreme, and he wanted to compete and defeat the supreme and become supreme himself. So these are like one class of demons. And there are other who deny there is a supreme. Just see the difference between the two. They say this world Aneshwaram. Jagad Ahur Aneshwaram. There is no controller here anywhere. And why primarily? Because I have not seen him. There was once an old story about a program where Jayadeva Maharaj was giving a class and one person said, "But Swamiji, I have not seen God yet." So we know Jayadeva Maharaj, how he can be as curt, sarcastic if he wants. So he says, the others assembled here, the intelligent people in this assembly, should not accept God because you have not seen him yet. Do you all agree? And to his horror, he could understand that, hey, it's my problem, I have not seen him yet. It's not everybody's problem. Normally in colleges, universities, people say this, nobody has seen God yet. He said, don't worry about everybody. What about you? Well, I also have not seen him yet. So then do something. Do the needful. We have not done so many things yet. But then if we have a desire, we go towards doing that. So, here he says, atheists like King Vena, they cannot think in any of these five ways. So they deny. So therefore in today's verse he's saying to Yudhishthira Maharaj, oh Yudhishthira Maharaj, the best of the Pandavas, your two cousins, Shishupala and Dantavakra, were formerly associates of Lord Vishnu. But because they were cursed, they fell down. Sometimes we see a news item in a newspaper that suddenly a big hole was created in the forest. And some scientists say it could be a meteor. Someone say it could be a UFO. And then, so like, it's a mystery. What caused this hole is a mystery. No one knows. And then one answer pops up. It's a UFO. Now how do you know it's a UFO? Well, one farmer saw something coming that direction and could be that. So then you ask him, did you see anything yet? Like this? Or it could be a meteor. Then what kind of meteor? Ulka path, a stone from the sky. Where did it come from? So many people, they feel that sometimes religion or theology, it solves one mystery by placing another one in its place. That why this is happening? Well, because of this. So why that is happening? Because of that. And why that happens? No answer. Dead end. I was reading a book where one so-called philosophy teacher, he says, what caused this world? So he talks about some fables, old folk tales, which have stories of that the world is supported on the back of some elephants. So, okay, then who is supporting the elephant? Well, then the giant tortoise. Okay, fine, but who is supporting the tortoise then? So he says, in this way, so-called religious stories, they keep on assuring you that there is an answer to your question. But that answer gives a rise to a bigger mystery. So, we are going to discuss today whether those who take to devotion service, they are the chosen people or are they people who choose? There's a feeling that some people, they are chosen by God. Like I was talking to one person many years ago. And I said, come to the program, come satsang mein aaiye, come to the satsang. So he said, hukum chalega. That if hukum aayega, if God orders me, then I have to come. So someone next to me, he said, so for just for you, he has to give a special order that please come to the temple. He has given this order which is echoing through the corridors of time from time immemorial. Sarva dharman parityajya mayam ekam sharanam vraja man mana bhava mad bhakto. But people feel that I am special. I need a special case for myself. So I thought that since this thing depends upon, this discussion depends upon whether the Lord is equal or the Lord also plays favorites. Now this whole chapter is about, this chapter will give rise to the story of how Narasimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu. And the title is The Lord is Equal. So straightway we feel that the Lord plays favorites. He calls someone his own, he calls someone the opposite. And then how do we understand that still he is equal? There's a very nice bhajan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, most of his bhajans, they have nice melodies, they are nice, they look like songs, but they have great truths embedded in them. So he begins the idea, he begins with the conception of why someone falls, because of durmati, a wicked mind. In this purport, Prabhupada is saying that the two associates of Vishnu, who later became Shishupal, Dantavakra, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, and Ravan Kumbhakarna, as Vishnu's own people, Parshada Pravarau, his own. So he's assured that don't think these are people from this world who were enemies of Vishnu. So obviously the question will come, Yudhishthira Maharaj, the next verse he's asking, Kidrisha Kasya Va Shapo. He says, can you tell me one thing? How can somebody in Vaikuntha be cursed? And who can be so powerful to go to Vaikuntha and curse somebody? So of course, these are deep topics and you need deep answers for that. So, here it is said, apparently they fell. So a doubt could come in our mind that, are we also apparently fallen? Or are we really fallen? Are we? Dinabandhu Prabhu, who was a mystic meditator before joining ISKCON, due to some things he did, found himself in jail. And that jail was only you keep people for 48 hours, 72 hours, like that. So he was there for only 24 hours. Minor offense. And that jail was like a box, tin box. There was an outlet for air, otherwise it was closed. So he, few hours ago, he was with friends. They were enjoying, doing whatever things they wanted, hippie group. And now suddenly they are all in their own individual boxes. So he thought, well, I can always transcend this situation. So he said, I'll start meditating. This box doesn't exist. I am free. All those things which he had learned of how to mind over matter, this is matter, and I should use my mind to go over it. So after a few minutes of very saturated meditation, he thought, now I'm successful, so I should just be free. So he got up, tong. He said, oh, it hurts. One hand here and, it hurts. So he said that I was meditating, all the things which I read in some books or practice meditation. But now, this one tin box is defeating all my meditation. If something helps you transcend, then it is good. So mind over matter and just think about something and you will be that. This is all good as armchair philosophy over a full stomach. If you are hungry for spiritual ideas, this won't satisfy your stomach at all. That means you go to this kind of yoga studios or meditation studios, but again you have to indulge in some material activity to support that kind of thing. That doesn't support your activities here. So obviously, these kind of things don't work. So have we fallen or have we not? Some philosophers say, no. We're not exactly fallen. We are God. We just have to realize that we are God and that's how we are. But how come the God is now not God? So he says, that's his illusion. So for a temporary period, if illusion can overpower God, then illusion becomes supreme. And they have no answers for that. So throughout the Vedic literatures, the words used for the living entity's journey to this material world, they are not like entry, he was received here, or he was sent or supported, patita, he fell, chutau, he just lost his bearing, with a sound. And especially that Bhagavad Gita verse where buddhi nashat pranashyati. So Prabhupada once said, and he falls in the material pool. And if you throw a pebble in a pool, plop, sound comes. And that becomes the ISKCON lingo for someone's fall. He bloops. So that bloop is the sound you make when you hit the material whirlpool. So, sane people admit that they are fallen. If someone thinks living amidst, if you find yourself in a prison cell and you still think you are free, then you are insane. You have to think of getting out of it. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, it's my wicked mind which has caused my fall. Durmati. And mind, as we know, can have desires. Sankalpa, vikalpa, good, bad, all kinds of desires. But he says some great soul has tirelessly worked for my welfare. Kono Mahajan, somebody has worked for me. And he has told me that Vededa Pratigya, the Vedas take a vow that if you follow our instructions, we will send you back home. It won't be necessary to loiter in this world aimlessly. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, so for fulfilling that prophecy, Rukma Varna Viprasuta, that Supreme Lord has taken the form which appears like molten gold. He's a son of a Brahmana and he has come here. So why does God set up a system where we make a choice? Why can't he just, like some people say, if God is good, then why just he doesn't tell me what is good? Why doesn't he force me to not do bad? It's good to think like that. Emotion-wise, it's good. But Siddhanta-wise, it lacks something. It will be a blot on God's character that he makes people love him. He forces people to love him. They have no choice. What can they do? In the 17th century, or 16th rather, there was this horsewala in England. He used to rent out horses. So that was the only way of transport. So people used to go and he used to advertise, I have the most wide variety of horses available. But then when you go to get one, you only get the one which is allotted to you by the owner. So you see all, but you only get one. So that's how the word came, Hobson's choice. No choice actually. Or as Henry Ford, he was asked, you make these nice cars, but what about different colors, you know? So he says, oh, my customers can have any color as long as it is black. That means there is no choice really. Or if I tell somebody, welcome to the feast, and just go to this next parlor here, and there are 10 containers of ice cream. Help yourself. So you feel 10 containers obviously appears like 10 varieties. But then you come back saying, hey, it's all vanilla. You say, well, there are 10 pots I told you. You said, 10 pots doesn't make any difference. It's only one. You have not given me the choice. You would at least put two varieties. There was a choice. So choice means two. Choice cannot mean only one. So we have this choice. We get whatever we are responsible for. Gita 4.13, Krishna says, you should know that I create this system, but I am not the doer because I am unchangeable. By unchangeable, Krishna means, if I see something, I like it. Oh, what a nice shoe, what nice shoes, what nice garland, what nice jewels, what nice thing. Or, oh, horrible smell. Likes and dislikes, in Vedic language, they change me. I get a vikar. And we have to understand somehow intellectually that Krishna does something and there is no vikar in him. And a simple way to understand, we get vikar because we are attached to the result. We don't get attached to the result, and then apparently we may be liking or disliking something, but we don't get entangled. And that's the whole mystery behind Bhagavad Gita. Then Krishna says, 9.9, I am ever detached from everything in this material world. I stay as if neutral. Udasinavat. I am udas. Now, udas doesn't mean I'm a fool, like a referee. He doesn't wish one team should win. Then he's not a referee. Then he belongs to one of our neighboring countries. They said he made a sign like this in game of cricket. They said, what does it mean? He says, you and four others after you, all out. That's for those uninitiated in cricket, this may not make any sense. So that was no umpiring. A referee, he's supposed to be partial towards the game, not to the players. But we find that it's very difficult to be impartial in this world. Paksha means a wing. Pakshapat means one who only get attached to one. Now paksha means party, paksha means so many things, but basically paksha means pakshi, is one who has two. So in the 13th chapter, Krishna clearly says that Arjuna's question as to, okay, fine, who causes my suffering then? And Krishna puts the blame squarely on the living entity, that he or you are alone to be considered the cause of your suffering. As you invite enjoyment upon yourself, similarly you invite suffering upon yourself. It's not that if you enjoy, God's enjoyment decreases. Or if you suffer, his enjoyment increases. No, he has nothing to do with your enjoyment and suffering here. The Vedanta Sutra says, 2.1.34, Vaishamye nairghrinye na sapekshatvat tatha apiha darshati. There is no likes and dislikes in the dealing of the Supreme, although it appears so. So the whole thing is, how do we know that I am the doer? In Surrender to Me, Burujan Prabhu gives an example that, let's say there's a big chair, any of these chairs here, and a small toddler, 3-4 year old boy, he wants to move it, obviously doesn't have the strength. But when his father or mother sees that he wants to do something, and the father picks up the chair and puts it in the place where the child wants, does the child have the strength to move it? No. But did the father or mother move it on her or his own accord? No. The living entity made some desire. He at least made some action. He showed by his behavior that he wants something to be done. And then the father helped. Similarly, the living entity makes his desire. How he makes it? Only Krishna understands. And therefore Krishna never leaves the living entity in this material world alone. He comes as Paramatma. Now many people, maybe few here, but many, many millions outside will feel very happy if they hear that, oh, God is not responsible for my suffering. But because it is Kali Yuga, millions would feel very angry with God. That why he did like that. And this proves this Siddhanta, that you can be angry with God or you can be happy with God. If God would have been someone that you give your opinion, like there was one employer, this is a management quote, he used to say that in my meetings, I tell all my managers, be free. Speak up your mind. I expect you to speak up your mind even if it costs your job. Well, God is not like that. He won't condemn you to hell eternally because you dare say no to me. There is no fun in that. So therefore, Prabhupada in 7.2.39, 7th canto, 2nd chapter, 39th verse says, the Lord has created this material world without requested by anyone. It was not like the jivas came together, they had a big association. Please, please, make us a material world. No. He creates without anyone requesting and he winds it up, even with protests there. And you may say, well, who makes him, I mean, what made him think like that? Or who makes him the boss? No one. That's why he's God. If he were answerable to someone, then that person becomes God. So this is apparently a simple statement. But why it is not very popular in today's times? Because of this enmity. There's a deep hatred. And that hatred manifests itself in so many philosophies, in so many ways, in so many people, so many leaders. They all agree on one point. As Prabhupada said in one conversation, he said, there is so much variety in this Western world, India, impersonalists, but they all agree, Krishna is not God. They have no idea who God is, but they have a big idea that Krishna is not God at least. So Prabhupada said, you present your candidate then. You present your candidate and we'll see whether he's God or not. They say, we have none, but we know for sure, your God is not the God. This is not fair. This is just unsporting. So what is that Vedera Pratigya? That Vedera Pratigya is the promise of the Vedas. Srila Bhakti Raksha Sridhar Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada's godbrother, he gave a very interesting insight into the word Om. He says the word Om means yes. Whatever you have desired, whatever you think, could life be like this, could life be like that, can I be happy? He says the answer to all your spiritual queries is yes. That's why there is a Om. Everywhere there is Om throughout the mantras. And this apparent imbalance or different views of various Vedic concepts. God is this, God is not that, God is like this, God is not like that. Swarup Damodar Goswami in one of his prayers says that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is especially to be remembered, especially to be worshipped because Samyag Shastra Vivadaya Vishadaya. He can harmonize all kinds of Shastric either inaccuracies or debates. Now we know the word vad, but the word vad is a very innocent term. Vad means very intellectual, very urbane kind of discussion, very good-natured. But vitanda means who is right. Vad is what is right. You find in Kali Yuga, people don't care what is right. Either you are right or am I right? And that causes the whole problem. So Lord Chaitanya, or for that matter, all the incarnations, the main purpose is to attract the minds of the living entities. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said, it is the mind which has become wicked, durmati. And as we just sang in the Damodarashtakam, iti driksva lilabhir ananda kunde. That the Lord practically drowns his devotees into pools of ecstasy. I was reading about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes very early in his boyhood. One day a snake came in the courtyard of Jagannath Mishra and baby Nimai just slept very comfortably as the serpent coiled around itself. And All the members of the family and neighbors were all alarmed. Somebody started shouting, Garuda, Garuda. But baby Nimai was somehow, he kept on embracing. And finally the serpent was also Ananta Shesh. He thought it is too much. These people can't take this thing anymore. So he quietly slithered away. And one particular pastime which sort of puts a gloss on what can you do if you choose one particular action. Two ordinary thieves, they're not like very professional or very renowned or something. They're just ordinary thieves. Just go walk like in this Gitanjali or other trains, you see these people. Anything they can lay their hands upon. So they found a small baby garlanded with amulets and jewel ornaments. And they said, hey, this is a nice chance. So just picked him up. And as we would good humor a baby, that would you like this, would you like a sundae, would you like this, would you like that. And as they were taking him along the road, people thought, well, maybe someone's father or uncle is carrying his baby nephew. And they fed him something which he relished. Now they were not knowing that they were carrying the Supreme Lord on their own shoulders. Now, how much they could have gained if they would have rendered some service. And they were just looking for a quiet corner somewhere to just keep this baby, take all the ornaments and leave. But Nimai, he bewildered them. Meanwhile here, all confusion broke loose. The parents were worried. Sachi Mata started crying. The neighborhood women were consoling her. Jagannath Mishra was very, very concerned as to what to do. And they were trying to, somebody was chanting mantras, somebody was praying. And suddenly, they found the baby at a distance near the courtyard in a dark place. And they were so happy. And suddenly, someone saw two people leave very fast. And he said, wait, wait, we want to thank you. What happened was, baby Nimai tricked them into coming to his own courtyard. So he got a nice joyride on their shoulders, the whole town of Nadia, practically for half of the day. And then they brought him to the place where they caught him. No one knows who they were or what result they got. They should have got some piety at least, which is a must. But what they gained is not as important as what they lost. So therefore, it's not that some people, they are born devotees or, oh, it's very easy for him or her because, you know, he's like that. He's he and I am me, so I can't be a devotee. No. We all have chosen something. Of course, our choice has limitations. If I decide to go into the opposite skyscraper, and as I'm climbing, I'm shouting, I'm going to jump down, till the 29th floor or 32nd floor, whatever, I have my choice to come back. But if I jump and I say, I don't want to come down, I have lost my choice. Now it's beyond me. So, Krishna, he never loses control of his choices. He's a supreme lord in all situations. But the minute living entity, one step choice, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6, no. And then we suffer the result of our choices, that's where we get confused. I didn't choose to have my legs broken. Well, if you choose to jump, that's half the part. The other half is you get your legs broken. So that's also part of a choice. So however difficult or impossible someone's situation may be, take the proper choices and then the result will logically follow. So there are no chosen people. There are only people who choose God above everything else. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Shri Radha Gopinath ki.